We were here the other night laboring, and some folks came in to clean the church, and they got it all clean, and two of our young men sat down in the dark here in the auditorium, and they were singing the most beautiful hymns, and I said, we need to get you on Sunday singing. So Brother Steve will work on that, right?
Okay.
So we will, Lord willing, hear from the singing janitors. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. It was beautiful. I would have cleaned the church and just had them sit down just so I could listen to them. It was wonderful.
Next week.
Okay. It's on the schedule. Okay. Oh. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Amen. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Our Father, we thank you for the joy, the absolute joy you're able to put in our hearts. Lord, you get it over and redeem us from sin and from worldly passions, just slaves to sin, and just to clean us up, to be able to just rejoice in you. Thank you for this time we can gather around your word, that we can listen carefully to the pastor's preaching. I pray you just bless him, just give him the energy and the strength he needs to proclaim your truth from your word. Help us have listening ears today. Help us have willing hearts to bow before you. Acknowledge that some of our ways, what of our ways, Lord, have always agreed with you. Lord, help us, forgive us. Lord, help us to be in agreement with you.
Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. And let's begin in verse 4. Revelation 1, 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, we've been going through the book of Revelation here, and we've seen it from verse 4. Number 1, Jesus Christ is the eternal one. From verse 5, Jesus Christ is the faithful one. And now number 3 from verse 6, Jesus Christ is the rewarding one. The rewarding one. And verse 6 there, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. You know, sometimes people may forget about what you do for them. Well, not just sometimes. It happens, doesn't it? And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget all that people do for us and are blessing. Yesterday we were working, and my wife texted me and said she was working on something to bring to us. And I don't know where I got it, where I heard it, but it's kind of been a little thing I've said to her over the years. Thanks a big bunch for the really swell lunch. You know, 'cause I'm probably just copying it from somebody, because I don't think I could ever think up something that. But anyway, so I text that to her. Thanks a big bunch for the really swell lunch. But we forget to thank people, don't we? So many times we just take so much for granted. We tend to forget about all that our mothers do for us. The labor and travail that they put forth to bring us into this world. All of those diapers that they changed to keep us clean, how we literally spoiled our mother's restful sleep by waking up multiple times a night. And, you know, do they ever, after that point, ever get a full night's rest? I don't know. You moms would have to answer that question. All the spiritual training they provide for us, we tend to forget what our fathers do for us, how they labor day in and day out, week in and week out, work hard, long hours to provide a home for us, clothes, medical care, spiritual encouragement for us along the way. We tend to forget what our friends do for us in so many ways, being there to help. To help pull you. I think of Brother Jim, all the times he's towed people from different locations because they've been broke down with their vehicles. Well, we tend to forget, though, what friends do for us. And we especially tend to forget what God does for us. We're so much like the 9 lepers that never came back to thank the Lord. Notice in Psalm 103, how many times do we really forget all that God has done? Psalm 103 and verse 2. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget what? Not all his benefits." You know, back many years ago, when you were trying to hire in for a job, your question was, what is the pay? And nowadays, so much, it seems like it's switched to, what are the benefits? And we forget all the benefits that God provides for us. We're just a forgetful people. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we had a missionary in Taiwan at one point, and he had to come off the field because of medical needs. But he said, "I learned something from the Taiwanese people. I learned that Americans don't know how to listen." He said, "We Americans were always wanting to talk instead of listen." And he said the Taiwanese people actually listen. And so he was learning that lesson. And in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou what? Buildest not. And houses full of all good things, which thou what? Fillest not. And wells digged, which thou what? Diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou what? Plantest not." I kind of hit that one there. It seems like we've never stayed in any place long enough to really enjoy the trees that we've planted. Years later, we go by the homes where we've lived and the trees that we planted, and now our beautiful shade trees. We don't seem to stay long enough for that, but it makes me think of that. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and what? Be full. Then beware lest thou what? Forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. It's so easy to forget all that God has done. And part of it is because every day is a day of new needs, isn't it? But we just fail to stop so many times and think of all that God has done for us. So back in Revelation chapter 1, you might want to mark that spot. Jesus Christ is the rewarding one. Jesus Christ is the rewarding one. Revelation 1:6, once again. It says, and hath made us what? Kings and priests. One thing is sure, God does not forget about us. And the Bible tells us here that for those who know the Lord, one day he's going to make us kings and priests. And so we're talking specifically about the millennium. The millennium is the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. So if we look at the church calendar, and some of you have asked about the calendars, we usually order calendars, and I've just kind of hesitated to order them this year because the pictures weren't just quite as pretty as they seem to traditionally be, but we'll try to get some in here anyway. But when we think about the church calendar as it is, the next thing on the agenda is the rapture. the catching away of the saints. We are in heaven while the seven-year tribulation period is going on earth. At the end of that seven-year tribulation period, the Lord is going to return all the way down to the earth. Remember, in 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to meet him in the clouds. In fact, if you hold your place here, turn to me, please, to 1 Thessalonians 4. When Jesus comes for the church, when Jesus comes for all who are saved, he's not going to touch down on the earth. That's Zechariah 4:14. One day he's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives, and that mountain's going to split right down the middle. There's going to be a big valley there. But that's at the end of the tribulation period. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God, what? Bring with him. So where are our loved ones who know Christ? They're not with that decaying body in the grave. They are with the Lord. Verse 14, Jesus is going to bring them back. And their bodies, as we'll see in a moment, are going to be resurrected. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And who? The dead in Christ shall rise first. So their bodies, the Lord's going to resurrect first. And then what? Verse 13. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together. That's where the word rapture comes from. Rapture means the catching away. It comes from this here. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. With who? The ones who are dead in Christ, and the Bible pictures them as sleep. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. So the Lord is not coming down to the ground at the rapture. We are going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So that's on the church calendar. The rapture, the catching away with the Lord for 7 years in heaven. Coming back with him then for the millennium. The 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Many promises. We'll look at some of those in just a minute. But the Lord, when we think of, he'll make us kings and priests. So we're thinking of that in the millennium, in that 1,000-year reign, when Christ sets up his kingdom. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Now, we normally just think about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that's who we should think about. But when we know Christ as our Savior, then there's this wonderful thing. He said he's going to make us kings and priests in that millennium period. So we're going to talk more about that. But in Matthew 25, and let's see, in verse 31, Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon what? The throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So he's setting up his kingdom right here. Matthew 25 is talking about the setting up of that 1,000-year kingdom upon earth. And back in Revelation chapter 1:6, that's the point here we're looking at. He hath made us kings and priests. Now just think about it. The Lord making us kings and priests. What is the responsibility of a king? What should be the responsibility of a king? Well, to rule in righteousness. And to serve the people. What is the, we'll see more verses here in a moment, but what should be the job description of a priest? Well, it should be to share the word of God once again to people and minister to others. And we're going to see all of those things in just a few moments. But before we do that, if you turn me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. One thing is sure, the Lord does not forget all that we have done for his name. And of course, we're not talking about salvation here, because we've looked many times at Matthew chapter 7. There are going to be people that say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, what? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we're not talking about right here about salvation. We don't appear before God and say, well, you've got to let us, me, into heaven because I've done this and this and this. No, we're talking about rewards here, not salvation. Salvation only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. But Ephesians 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to what? To forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to who? The saints, and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget all that you've labored for him. And remember, we're talking about those who are saved. God is not unrighteous to forget all that you have done for his name's sake. And notice how the emphasis here in verse 10, in the last part of the verse, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to who? The saints, and do minister. Many times our service for Christ is serving others. And we've looked at that many times in Matthew 25. Let's look, though, at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Do you see how important it is for each of us with the right motive and heart to serve one another? Because if Christ was here, what would we do for him? Well, we would do anything he would ask for him with the right heart, with the right motive, with the right attitude. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding what? In the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord. Isn't it amazing just how the Lord knows, and he knows everything, but how he knows just when you need encouragement? I mean, isn't it something? As I mentioned in Sunday school, my wife and I think it was this week, we were just talking about, I wonder if they're still listening to those DVDs we take every week to them. Sure enough, the Lord just touched the heart of the lady. They usually had two ladies. They alternated weekends overseeing the extended care. But the Lord just brought that lady out to the door this morning and said, yes, the people enjoy listening to these. And she was saying, we just long for you to be back in person. And we long for that day too. And the Lord just knows, doesn't he? He knows when you need that encouragement to keep on going. And that's what this verse tells. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So how is he going to reward us one day? Well, we've been looking here in Revelation 1:6. He's going to make us kings and priests. And specifically, it's in that millennium time. Kings and priests. How does the Lord determine rewards? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. This is the judgment seat of Christ that we're going to read about here. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. The foundation is so important. When you're building a house, the foundation is so important. So the foundation is Christ. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what?
Fire.
So to get it straight, we as Christians do not face the fire. Our works face the fire. Unsaved people literally face the fire for all of eternity. But for us, when we've come before the Lord, all of the works we've ever done are going to have to go through God's fire here. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what? What sort it is. So the person that comes before the Lord with the biggest pile of works is not necessarily going to receive the most rewards. It's the sort. The sort. What did we do? All those things, our attitude. Why did we do them? The sort. That's how. Whether it comes through the fire, it's going to depend on what sort they were. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive what? A reward. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us here exactly what that reward is. A lot of people have asked the question, what do we do in heaven? Well, as we're seeing from Revelation 1:6, I can tell you what we're going to be doing in the millennium. All people who are saved, God is going to have things for us to do. He's going to make us kings and priests. We're going to have responsibilities in that kingdom. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be what? Saved, yet so as by fire. So in other words, this judgment is not determining who is going to heaven and who is going to hell. This judgment is only for those who are going to heaven. And it's just to determine their eternal rewards. Have you ever stopped to think about that? As soon as we take our last breath here, eternity is sealed for our rewards. That's it. Have you ever stopped and think about that? The moment I take my last breath here, everything I've done on earth then is going to go through this fire. And will anything come out the other end? Out of all the piles of things that I've done, if I did it with the wrong heart, the wrong motive. I'll never forget in auto shop, and I don't know if that was my senior year or what, but I had a class. It was actually a double hour class, and we worked on cars. We were supposed to be learning on how to work on cars. And somebody did something wrong. And the teacher said, all right, everybody get your cars out of here and come back in here and sit down. And I forget what he gave us to do. But I had my car in their day work that day working on it. And so I got in my car and left, went out, come back in. When I walked back in, the teacher said this, Austin, what did you say when you were driving your car out of the garage? I didn't know I was saying anything. But my lips were murmuring when I was driving out, and he wanted to know what I said. I don't remember what I said. But just, yeah, I obeyed. I pulled my car out of the shop. But evidently my heart wasn't right. I was complaining about not, I don't know who did what, and I don't know what I don't remember what I was doing on my car that day. But I guess I was unhappy that we were having to take our cars out and having to stop. And just think about that when we face God. Austin, what did you do? You know, why did you do this or why did you do that? And I'm not saying he's going to ask those questions because he already knows the answers. But just think, when all of our works, everything we've ever done, goes through that fire, if we did it with the wrong heart, all that's going to come out at the end is ashes. No reward. That would be sad, wouldn't it? Notice in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. On our way to the hospital this morning, I forget where we saw something about Santa Claus somewhere on the way to the hospital this morning. And I said to my wife, isn't it sad that people have made up an imaginary figure of someone that's really, they attribute, the characteristics of Christ to this person they call Santa Claus. He knows if you've been naughty or nice. Who is the only one who knows completely whether we've been naughty or nice? God's. God. They say this man can cover the whole world in one night, giving gifts. Who is the only one who can be everywhere at once? God's the only one. And who is the only one really that has the means to give gifts to everyone, and especially the gift of salvation? It's only Christ. It's interesting. You take the name Santa and just move the N to the end. And what is it? Satan. That's all you have to do. Santa. Just move the N, take it, pick it up, and move it to the end, and it says Satan. But the whole world, I mean, if you were asked the average little child about Christmas, it'd probably be about Santa. And they've attributed to him characteristics that are only true of God. But you know, that's what Satan is all about, trying to take our focus off the Lord Jesus Christ and put it upon some other man, some other person. Notice something in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So what are some of the rewards that we could have? Well, the Bible talks about crowns. Well, I guess that's fitting then, because Revelation 1:6 is going to make us kings and priests in his kingdom. So in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says here, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me what? A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give who? Me, so he's referring to himself, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto who? All them also that love is appearing. If you were to ask me this morning, do I love the Lord's appearing? In other words, am I looking for it, excited about it? Am I looking for it? How could you tell? How could you tell if I was really excited about the Lord's coming? Well, notice with me in Titus chapter 2. Here's some clues. Titus 2:12. Actually, let's back up to verse 11. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying what? Ungodliness and what? Worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly where? In this present world. Okay, this is all building up to something. Verse 13, looking for what? That blessed hope and the what? Glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who? Jesus Christ. So, if I'm really looking for his coming, verse 12, I'm going to deny ungodliness, deny worldly lust. I'm going to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why? Because I'm looking for his coming and I don't know when he's coming. That's why this would be the way that I should be living. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So, is that the way we are living? Is that the way we are living? Let's go back to Revelation 1:6. Revelation 1:6. So, am I serving? If verse 6 here, and it maketh kings and priests. You know, it's always better to have someone who has experienced, right? Someone who has experienced. Because the Bible says if you give a novice great success and great authority, oftentimes they're filled with pride. So when you think about it, how are we doing right now in this matter of, okay, God gives us a little authority. How do we use it? Do we, by love, serve one another? Are we like Boaz? Do we, you know, if God allows us to have people that work under us, do we bless them in the Lord's name? Boaz blessed his workers. His workers blessed, they both blessed each other in the Lord's name. So how are we doing on that? How are we doing with authority? When God gives us authority, how do we handle it? Is it like, okay, slaves, Monday morning, all right, you slaves, get to work. How do we treat others, really? He's made us kings and priests. When that day comes, remember what happened to Daniel? Notice in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 47. Daniel chapter 2, and verse 47. Daniel would be greatly promoted. What do you remember, his friends? Daniel 2:47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel what? A great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him what? Ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and what? Chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Oh, wow. He has got power. And notice what he did, verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. What did Daniel do? He didn't forget his friends. Remember, they were all praying. We talked in Sunday school about prayer. Remember, they were all praying that God would help them to figure out what the interpretation, the king's dream and the interpretation. They were all in it together praying. And Daniel did not forget his friends. Unlike with Joseph, the butler and the baker, Joseph interpreted their dreams. And of course, the baker lost his head. But the butler, he got his job back. And did he remember Daniel? Not for 2 years. He forgot Joseph for 2 years. Joseph was in prison 2 years until Pharaoh has a dream. And at that point, the butler, oh, I remember my faults. There's somebody back sitting in prison that you need to see that can help you with your need. How are we doing on that? Serving others. So in Revelation 1:6 there, Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests. How's it going to be with us? How much authority? We don't have time to look at all the parables in that regard. But so he gives one person 5 talents, one person 10 talents, another person 1 talent. How do they do? How are we doing? Good question to ask, isn't it? Let's go to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. How should we be with authority that is given to us? 2 Samuel 23, verse 3. 2 Samuel 23, 3. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be what? Just. Ruling in what?
Fear of God.
The fear of God. That's the way we need to use authority, in the fear of God, and use it justly. What about then the priest part? Made us kings and priests. Notice with me in Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. How are we doing on this point right now? Malachi 2 and verse 7. Malachi 2, 7. The Bible says, for the priest's lips should keep what? Knowledge. So this is why we just need to keep reading through the Bible, isn't it? We just need to keep. The priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is what? The messenger of the Lord of hosts. So, if somebody comes to us and asks us a question, okay, have we been in our Bibles seeking for the knowledge of God to know what the right answer is? And then, are we giving it to people? It says they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So, okay, I'm not here just to give my opinion, or I'm in a situation where someone has a question, okay? I've got to refrain from my opinion. Okay, what does the Bible say? So, back in Revelation, in closing here, Revelation 1:6, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So these are some of the rewards right here. Being made kings and priests. And we're looking at that millennial period, that 1,000-year reign of Christ. How trustworthy would we be right now to be made a king or a priest? And of course, we're not talking about a priest in the sense of, you know, doing something on the behalf of someone else, like the Old Testament priest offered these animal sacrifices. They could never take away sins. Hebrews 10, the first five verses there make that clear. Those animal sacrifices did not save those people. They were all looking ahead. They were more like a check. You know, when we write out a check, that's not the actual money. It's really just a note of the promise to come. I'm signing my name and I'm writing down a figure. $100? $10,000? I can write down $10 million on that piece of paper, but if I don't have that much money to back it, it's a worthless piece of paper. So may the Lord help us. He has some wonderful rewards awaiting for us. But how are we using the talents that he's given to us right now? In regard to being made a king, wow, that's a big responsibility, isn't it? But it's a big responsibility serving Christ right now, isn't it? How are we using what authority we have? Is it a little or nothing? I mean, it might be as little as between brothers and sisters, siblings. Okay, dad and mom have given me the authority to do this or that while they've stepped out. How am I using it? There's so many ways. We need to be faithful now. And then the matter of priests, being made kings and priests unto God. How much am I really knowing about his law, his word, and how am I handling that? Am I sharing that with others? I pray that could be a blessing. And of course, then the matter of salvation. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. It's not by any works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, born of a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He was buried and rose again, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away our sins. That's why death could not hold him. He paid the price. So may the Lord help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray you would help us, Lord. These lives that we have, you've given us huge freedom, huge latitude to do your will or do our own will, for better or for worse. Father, it's an awesome thing to think about. When we take our last breath, that's it. If a person is saved, that person is saved. If a person is lost, there's no chance to be saved after that. It's eternal. It's eternal condemnation, eternal torment. And Father, as Christians, we think about, we take this last breath and that's it. How faithful have we been? Our rewards at that point will be determined eternally. At that point, there's no way to go back and be faithful and serve you with a pure heart and serve others. So, Lord, please minister to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to make these lives count for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name.